Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about prom season and teen pregnancy. What do the two have to do with each other? My guests are pediatrician and adolescent medicine specialist, Dr. Marilyn Corder, and Sharon Anderson. She is founder of Girls Speak Incorporated. It's an organization helping teen girls address the teen pregnancy issue. Lines are open if you have a comment, if you have a question, if you need some advice about how to address this issue with your children, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Gwen, calling from D.C. Gwen, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I hope you're all well and happy. I would just like to say that long before high school, I gathered up a bunch of girls. They were age range 9 to 10 to 11. I had arranged with Planned Parenthood to find out if they had a program they could teach young girls about their bodies and about their sex and boys and the like. They had such a program, so I gathered up all these neighborhood girls, friends of my children who were that age as well, and took them to Planned Parenthood and dropped them off and left them there for about a three-hour session where everything was discussed about their bodies, boys' bodies. This was before sex education in school, mind you. It was something that they needed to know. I took them because I never knew, and I was a mother of two children, but I was never told anything. And so I wanted them to learn and learn correct. And it did pay off. The first pregnancy of one of the young girls who was taken there was 24 years old. And she had made that decision that she wanted to have a child.
I see.
But when they were that young, 9, 10, it was so impressionable to them that I believe it kind of scared them straight. That it was something they had no interest, and they knew what they knew how to conduct themselves, and they knew what would happen if they didn't conduct themselves.
Okay. Gwen, thank you so much for sharing with me. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Linda, calling from Waldorf. Linda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Linda?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I just parked in front of my apartment. But you know what? I was telling the lady just now. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, really quick. I explained to her, excuse me. I'm going to be 60 in July, okay?
You're going to be how old?
Yeah. 60.
Okay, good for you. Go right ahead.
Thank you. But you know what? I was thinking.
Linda, you've broken up.
My God.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I can hear you now. Keep still and just tell us what you want to share.
Well, what I want to share is that with girls getting pregnant at 16, 17 years old, when I was 14 and I had my period at 17, or 16 in 10th grade, 9th grade in high school, my aunts and uncles back in the day, my grandma didn't tell me about getting pregnant. You understand? So when I got to my senior year, my junior year, we had fun. We want to think about boys and sex and stuff like that. But if you communicate with your daughter or your son as a young teenager, let them know ahead of time, go out to your prom. Have a good night. My daughter's 41. My son's 33. When their prom night came, they went to the hotel in Crystal City. They had a good time. No one got pregnant until they were 21, 22 years old. But the thing is, we got to tell our children today, in 2017, the repercussions of having a boyfriend at 14, puppy love, we used to call it. But go back in the day. Call it puppy love. So when you get 19 and 20 and go to college and choose your career or your lifestyle, make a decision. Don't get pregnant. If you have sex, be straight up.
Okay.
Don't use a protection. Tell a girl to get a shot for birth control. Tell your kids this. I was not told that. I had my first daughter, my child, have two children. I was 19. It was great. I had two kids on my husband. We were grown. We were not married. But not like today, like you're saying, the girls are having babies at so young an age because they're not being educated by their families. It starts at home first.
Okay.
Not before school, not before high school, before prom night, it starts at home with aunts, uncles, grandparents.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate it, and thank you so much for your passion. With that said, Sharon, talk to me a little bit about Girls Speak Inc. Because it seems to me that, you know, based on, for example, what we just heard from Linda and others, that people are trying to do individually what your organization is doing.
Well, we do rely on the parents, but Girls Speak is the focus of that is building a young lady's confidence. Statistically, girls whose self-esteem is higher are 3 times as likely to delay having sex versus a young man when they have self-esteem, they're more likely to. So Girls Speak Inc. is all about building a young woman's confidence, because when you're confident, you're okay with saying no. You're okay with being different. You're okay not doing what everyone else does. So that's what our goal is through, looking at your self-image. Yes, we will cover the information about your body, just the whole gamut of things. But what I've found is, and I know this from personal experiences, that when my confidence, I'm confident about who I am, about being okay with who I am, then I can make decisions for myself, make empowering decisions for myself. And so that's what we try to instill in our young ladies, is that it's okay to be yourself, but understand that and be confident about that. Because a lot of times it's just the other young ladies or other young men, for that matter, that are looking for that one person that will take the lead and be okay with who they are. And so Girls Speak, we have put on a number of programs. We've done back to school. We've done a self-image conference. And so we are doing these things in support of the parents, because we know parents are working a lot and there's just so much to go on. But there's something about having that extra special organization or group that you belong to that makes you feel special, that builds your self-esteem, that builds your confidence. And that's what we're trying to do, is support the parents, be that extra piece that some people do not have. Parents are busy. We require the parents to also support us. So it's not just that, you drop your kids off and we're a babysitting session, but it is a supplement to what parents are trying to instill in their children.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Corder, do you find it difficult for the parents of your teen patients to address these issues? And what kind of pushback, if any, from those parents do you get?
Well, you know, I do find it difficult. What they'll say is, well, Dr. Corder, we know you're going to talk to her or him, so you go ahead. And I'm like, yes, I will do that. That's part of my job. But in doing that, I'm also going to bridge that communication with your young person and yourself, because they feel uncomfortable, just like several of the callers and many parents who are in their 30s, well, 40s or 50s. They didn't have that conversation with their parents, so they don't know how to address it or to get started. So what we do, I have them come in. I first talk to the adolescent and make sure it's okay, because, you know, they also have that confidentiality that you can't talk to the parent unless the teenager allows you. And we openly talk. Most of the time, I've convinced them it's okay. And when we talk about it and accept what that young person knows and then what they need to know, then we're talking prevention. Then that line of communication is open. But that's so very important. And the parents do have to talk to them, because if not, lots of things and decisions and behavior that a young person can get into, if the parent is not aware, then it can go into some very, very dark areas in terms of not just pregnancy, but morbidity and mortality in terms of drinking and driving and drug usage, and even a young person who's missing, depending upon who they're with.
What has surprised you when you've spoken to teenagers when they talk about sex that made you say, really, something that was eye-popping, eyebrow-raising that you didn't expect?
Well, there's several things. Okay. One of the things that surprises me is And that's what even Sharon said. I won't be accepted. I'm not going to be liked if I don't do this for this person in terms of having sexual activity in the bathroom. Some of the places that they're telling me where they're having sex, in the hallway at the school, in the boys' bathroom, wherever. And the lack of self-respect is my concern. And what I do a talk as well. And one of my, the talk I do is sex worth dying for? Because some of these activities, they can lead into an STD that you can die from, HIV, et cetera. So I talk to them very open and very candidly and real. And then they'll come back. Now, some, of course, may come back with an STI, and they'll say, well, I didn't think I could get it. Then I now have their attention. And they're like, oh, this is it. I'm not doing this again. I'm not having unprotected sex. I'm not even going to have sex. So it sometimes takes a mistake, but I'm still talking to them over and over and inviting their parents, grandparents, their mothers and fathers. That's the other thing. I invite the mothers and fathers to talk because I think it will take the entire village to have that communication open, the lines of communication.
Same question for you, Sharon. What has surprised you in talking to the girls and, dare I say, very young women that are, you know, under your charge in this regard?
Well, a lot of the young people are really looking to hear from they would like to hear from their parents. They would like to know that their parents can relate to what they're saying, not necessarily the exact same situations, but that they weren't so perfect, that they, you know, experienced a various activities or were faced with things that they didn't always get it right, or that they had some of these same situations. I mean, I know that we're talking about teenagers and graduations, but a lot of this conversation needs to happen way before we start talking specifically about teenagers. Girl Speak starts at 11, but even as young as you think that your child, you know, depending on the child's personality or character, can begin to understand certain things, parents need to start talking with them at that age. Begin to be open. Yes, there. I grew up in the generation where, you know, parents had, you know, certain boundaries that you didn't talk to kids about. But we live in such a time that it does you more harm not to have these conversations with them than to have the conversations. So we need to be more open. We need to start talking a little bit younger about having these conversations. A lot of the young ladies really don't want to be involved in these situations, but they feel the pressure. And even as the doctor said, you know, young men, sometimes as mothers, we talk about if you have a son, I've heard some of the mothers say, oh, some of these young ladies, they are a little bit more aggressive than what we, you know, used to think of, you know, being ladylike.
Yeah, I think the technical term is fast.
That's it.
Well, I wasn't trying to call fast.
Well, no, but I mean, but that's what they say. But please go right ahead.
Right. You know, so basically.
Because the guys are fast, too.
Right.
You know, Indianapolis 500. I mean, you know, let's call a spade, but please go right ahead.
Right. So I think this is a conversation that we need to be having at a younger age. And as the doctor did say, you know, at village, it takes a village. So you have the parents, you have organizations such as mine that supplement that. We have this conversation that we're having here and people participating. So all of this is to help us, you know, rely on one another, get tidbits from one another on how we can help our young people.
I need to take a break. When we come back, how do you start that conversation with your children, or vice versa? How does a child start the conversation with the parent? Everybody's going to learn something. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about teen pregnancy, preventing it. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about prom season and teen pregnancy, how to prevent it. Let me go back into this conversation about conversation, because it seems that that's really where it needs to start. And before the break, we were talking about the struggles that some parents have with having the sex conversation. And this is as old as sex itself, I'm quite sure. So, Sharon, what do you recommend for parents who are squeamish or just struggling with having the conversation about sex with their girls or boys? Let us say 10 or 11 years old.
Well, as has been stated here, you have the medical professions that will help set up the initial conversation. But what I would say is you have to push through it. No one can communicate. Well, no, that's not true. Yes, other people can communicate with your child, but you have to start somewhere. And so I would say push through it and take your time. I would not try to incorporate everything overnight, but I would use that to begin to develop that speaking relationship that evidently, you know, you may or may not have with the child, and allow the child and ask them, you know, hey, what's going on? You know, looking at Facebook, you may even use some of the things they see on Facebook to ask them to talk to you about the various lingo that they use and explain it to you. But the one thing that I recommend to anyone is whatever they tell you, do not act shocked or do not act in such a way that they feel condemned, some kind of condemnation for whatever they're saying. Allow them to be themselves. Allow them to be open enough with you. That's not to say that you don't say to them, you know, I'm not in agreement with that, but don't have that such a harsh reaction that they shut down. So that's what where I would begin.
I would imagine that you would probably need to prepare yourself.
Yes.
You have to go into a prayer closet or something like that beforehand. You know, and all jokes aside, and prepare yourself for and I don't even want to call it the worst, but prepare yourself to hear that your child may be, if not more experienced, more knowledgeable about things.
At such a young age, I mean, they're twerking, they're talking about certain things.
Okay,
and
that,
you know, and it's like, okay, now what is that going to attract? So you talk to them and you never, never shut it down. When I say that, if they come to you and they ask a question, you have to address it and then continue to talk about it. And then say, now, I know that you're talking to your friends and somebody may tell you this or that, but, you know, I really know much more than your other 9-year-old. And it's okay to talk to me about it. We'll go see Dr. Whoever and we'll talk about it and continue to keep that line of communication open. And that's so important. As well as Jaron said, you know, do not be judgmental. It may... You know, you may feel one way, but make sure that you keep the lines of communication and letting them know that they can tell you anything.
Because I can imagine, like I said, some things that your children may tell you may make you want to clutch the pearls. I mean, you know, it can be honestly very, very frightening and very unnerving. For now, here's the other piece to that. So, Dr. Corder, have you had any of your adolescent patients say to you, how do they talk to their parents? What do they want? You know, what do they tell you, and how do they want to start that conversation with their parents?
Well, the first thing they say is, I can't talk to my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, and I'm saying, yes, you can. And they'll say, no, they won't listen, or I don't know how to talk to them. So when we start that, because the first thing I also say to them is, let's talk about it. And I think you need to talk to your parents. Certainly I'm here as their as their representative, as well as that confidant person. But you want to encourage that conversation. And knowing that child, that adolescent, and talking to them, I give them tidbits on, you know, let's just sit down when no one's upset, when you didn't bring a bad report card home, you know, you didn't wreck the car, and let's talk about things. And then I will also let the parents know that, you know, Jonathan or Rachel is going to talk to you this evening and give them some some pointers, listening is very important, and understanding what they're trying to say and understanding what they're doing even on social media. And then we have to, again, continue to encourage that conversation, because that's so very important. Because if not, as I said, that not knowing what's going on and not having that conversation can lead down a very dangerous and a road where you wish you had.
You know, Sharon, you've spoken about girls, and by the very title of your organization, Girls Speak. But have you had an opportunity to have conversations with boys?
That is not our particular area, but I have spoken with other organizations where their focus are young men. And hopefully in the future, we will be doing some kind of collaborative events and what have you. So there is a need for both. There are organizations that satisfy both. And so at some point, yes, we plan to work with them, because there are times when bringing both boys and girls together, or young men and young women together, it's more productive that way, because it's interesting to hear what the other says about how they interpret body language, how they interpret what you say. So bringing them together also is beneficial.
What do the girls say about what the boys say?
The misinterpretation of, I guess, behaviors in terms of, does he like me? Does he not? Well, or just what certain things mean, you know, I don't have any specifics at the moment, but, how young men see young women and their actions. I know when we grew up, there was the type of young women that the type you marry and then the type you had fun with. A lot of times, this is one of the things the young ladies say, well, that's not true anymore.
No, you want both.
Right.
But that's another show.
They're trying to figure it out. Well, if I'm a good girl, but it seems like the so-called bad girls are winning. So there are these questions. And then, you know, the young men that, you know, they're trying to be the nice guy, you know, they seem like, well, the young ladies don't like me, or, you know, if I ask them out, they don't, you know, respond to me as positively. So there's all these mixed messages that are being sent, these mixed interpretation. And then, like I said, I mentioned before, I think social media and TV helps to send all these mixed messages too. So somewhere in there, the parent has to get their voice in and said, hey, no matter what you're hearing, no matter what you're seeing, I'm that expert that you want to talk to, and not your friends, and not rely on these other avenues, because, you know, TV is just TV. Social media is just that. But I have your best interests at heart. You are my child, and I'm going to be the one that protect and take care of you.
Dr. Corder, you were nodding your head when she was talking about the boys.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Way back 30 years ago, we opened up a program at Ballou High School through Howard and AT&T, and we had 70 girls who were pregnant at the in that particular year. And it was a positive to this story. So we broke them up in two homerooms, 35 in each, and we kept them in school. We took away their excuses. They all graduated. But what's interesting is initially we forgot about the boys. They were the fathers, and they were peeking in. The young ladies came to school an hour early and stayed an hour late. We had nutrition and parenting as their part of their curriculum. So we said, oops, we forgot about the boys, because they were thirsty for information and how to parent, how to be responsible, how to stay in school, how to get a career. And so we said, okay, we got this going. This is good. It was presented on Nightline, et cetera. Let's look at the guys, because they, too, need that attention, that guidance, that how to be a man, that positive, how to respect a woman. And that's important. And in my practice, what I do, I have quite a few young men who are virgins, 17, 18, 19. Of course, they don't go around bragging I'm a virgin, because they get teased. They get teased not only by their male friends, they're the young ladies who are coming up to them, as we say, fast. What's wrong with you? You must be gay. He said, I respect you. And what some of the things we tell them to say, you know, I want more for you than you want for yourself.
And what else do the boys say? Because I wanted to drill down in this last minute or so. Your young male patients, what are they saying, virgins or otherwise, about how they are thinking about this issue, sexuality and teen pregnancy and the like? What do you hear most from the boys?
Well, you know what's interesting? Many of them who have yet to have sex, not interested in having sex, they may be a star, basketball, whatever, and popular. They go back and say to me, because my parents told me to wait. So that knowledge, that conversation that starts at home, it holds right in their brain, right in their actions. And they say, I try to be cool. And I might say, you know, I have a girlfriend or whatever. But bottom line is they're not ready. And they realize they're not ready because of what the education and the counseling and the conversation that they've heard and listened to.
Fascinating. I want to let our listeners know that information about Girls Speak Incorporated will be posted on our website on WHUR.com, as always, after the program. But before we close out, how can people get in touch with you, Sharon Anderson, and find out more about Girls Inc.?
They can reach me at our email address is girlspeaklife@gmail.com. Or they can also hit us up on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Girls Speak. And then we have our website that's www.girlspeak.net.
Okay. Again, as I said, that information will be posted on our website at around 8:30 or so. Sharon Anderson, thank you so much for all the work that you're doing. And congratulations on, you know, on the achievements of your daughter, 37, and doing a thing. You know,
thank you.
It's always good to hear about children listening to their mamas, right? There you go. And, of course, Dr. Marilyn Corder, always good to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, May 30th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR or HFisher WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.